You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Shaw's for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Shaw's for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Shaw's Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit shaws.com/4u for program details.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the weekly show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this week's program, have an interview with Drew Gear. Drew is the host of the Rock Pile Report, and along with his producer, Chris Krueger, they dedicate their podcast to covering Buffalo Bills content. On the program, we discuss the Bills game against the Buccaneers, also Bills offense and defense, Josh Allen, and so much more. It was a good, great conversation, great interview that we're going to have with Drew on this week's show. And, of course, before we get, you know, to all the moving and shaking around currently in the National Football League, we got to start off with the most important games from Week 14 in the National Football League. Some exciting games, some with the distance and overtime. So let's get right to it. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings dominated for the first 3.5 quarters, but Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense came back, but it was not enough, as the Vikings would hold on to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Thursday night football 36-28 after Ben Roethlisberger attempted a pass to tight end Pat Freiermuth. The Vikings would stop the Steelers, and again, Minnesota beats Pittsburgh, final score 36-28. The Las Vegas Raiders squared off against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was all Chiefs. The Chiefs would beat the Raiders, final score 48-9. The Baltimore Ravens took on the Cleveland Browns in an AFC North showdown. Lamar Jackson sprained his ankle in that game. Brett Hundley filled in for Lamar, did the best that he could, but in the end, it would be the Cleveland Browns beating the Baltimore Ravens 24-22. NFC East rivals, the Dallas Cowboys squared off against the Washington football team. The Cowboys dominated for about 3.5 quarters, but Washington would come back strong. But in the end, it was Dallas's defense that would hold off Washington in the very end as the Cowboys hold on to beat Washington 27-20. The San Francisco 49ers square off against the Cincinnati Bengals. That game went to the distance. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo throws a game-winning touchdown pass to wide receiver Brandon Ayuk in overtime to give the 49ers the victory 26-23. The Buffalo Bills squared off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That game went the distance in overtime as well. And for the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, doing what he does best, went the distance, throws the game-winning touchdown pass to Brashad Perryman as the Buccaneers would go on to beat the Bills in overtime, 33-27. Sunday Night Football was an NFC North showdown between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers doing what he does best, getting a little help from Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams and company. The Packers beat the Bears 45-30. And on Monday Night Football, it was the Los Angeles Rams going up against the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals dominated early on in the game, but in the end, the Rams' defense and the offense would prevail as the Rams go to the desert and beat the Cardinals, final score 30-23. On Monday Night Football. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 14 in the National Football League. Now it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start off with COVID-19. First off, there are some places in the world that have opened up, some jobs have opened up, and are things back to normal? In my opinion, no, they're not. We must remember that COVID-19 is still a very real thing. It is affecting everyday life. It is affecting the way we go to work, the way we go about our business, and so on and so forth. And COVID has impacted a lot of the professional sporting leagues and has certainly reared its ugly head in the NFL, especially this week. I'm going to give you a list of the NFL players currently as this show is airing in the league COVID protocols. Let's start off with the Atlanta Falcons. They currently have three players in COVID protocol. The Baltimore Ravens have one player. The Buffalo Bills also have one player in COVID protocol. The Carolina Panthers, running back Christian McCaffrey, he's in the COVID protocol. For the Chicago Bears, they have five players, including Artie Burns and Eddie Goldman. The Cincinnati Bengals have one player that is in the COVID protocol. Now for the Cleveland Browns. After beating the Baltimore Ravens this past week, you have 11 players and the head coach that are in the COVID protocol. That includes head coach for the Browns, Kevin Stefanski, quarterback Baker Mayfield, tight end Austin Hooper, wide receiver Jarvis Landry, and defensive end Tack McKinley, and also offensive lineman Jedrick Wills. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys have one player. The Houston Texans have five players. The Indianapolis Colts have one player. The Kansas City Chiefs have two players in the protocol. That includes defensive tackle Chris Jones. And how about the Los Angeles Rams? This past Monday night, they beat the Arizona Cardinals 30-23, and now 13 players are currently in the COVID-19 protocol. That includes Jalen Ramsey, offensive lineman Rob Havenstein, also a wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., also defensive tackle Sebastian Joseph Day, also running back Darrell Henderson Jr. The Miami Dolphins have four players in the protocol. Meanwhile, the Minnesota Vikings have seven. The New England Patriots have two players. The New York Giants have four players. Meanwhile, the New York Jets have one. The Philadelphia Eagles have four players. The Pittsburgh Steelers have one player. The Tennessee Titans have two players. And the Washington football team have 17 players currently in the COVID protocol. That includes defensive tackle Jonathan Allen, quarterback Kyle Allen, defensive tackle Matt Ioannidis, also wide receiver Cam Sims. You can add defensive back Kendall Fuller to the list as well, as well as defensive ends James Smith Williams and Montez Sweat, just to name a few. COVID-19 is still a very real thing in our society. With all the advancements that we have in medicine, whether it be with the vaccines or the pill that is pending with the FDA authorization, we must remember that a lot of people are walking around and going about their daily business thinking that COVID is not a real thing. COVID is still a real thing in our society. And as I mentioned earlier, it has impacted a lot of the other professional sporting leagues, and the NFL is no exception to the rule. This is something that we have to be very careful as we move forward towards the end of the regular season, and something we really need to pay attention to coming in January with the playoff run, and of course in February with the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. What will the NFL do? Will they adjust COVID protocols? Because if we have something like this again, 9 times out of 10, the league is not going to change the date of the Super Bowl. So I'm sure there's going to be some things that are going to be shifted. I'm praying something like that will happen so that way we can have players healthy and a full go, so no one of importance will be in the COVID protocol affecting the game, because we're really getting to the meat and potatoes of the schedule. The final 4 weeks of the NFL regular season, the playoff push in January, and then you have the Super Bowl in the middle of February. So this is something we're going to have to pay attention to, because COVID-19 is still a very real thing. My next storyline is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is on a roll right now. They have won 4 games in a row. The 4-game winning streak began when they beat the New York Giants on November the 22nd. Then they beat the Indianapolis Colts November the 28th. They beat the Atlanta Falcons on December the 5th. And then they beat the Buffalo Bills this past week in overtime. How about Tom Brady? Tom is like a fine wine that just gets better with time. In this game this past week against the Buffalo Bills, he became the first player in NFL history to achieve 700 career touchdown passes. Man, I tell you what, Brady's like a fine wine that gets better with time. I think he will definitely play until he's 50. I'm calling it right now. He's going to play until he's at least 50 years of age. And again, in this game, he set the NFL record for the most pass completions, passing another a great one and a future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees. Again, Tampa defensively, you know, they've played the defense has played in spurts this year because they've had a lot of injuries. But offensively, you have Tom Brady, you have Leonard Fournette that's running the ball well. The wide receivers are just outstanding with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin or Breshad Perryman when he contributes. Tight ends, you've got Rob Gronkowski. So, man, Tampa, this is going to be a dogfight for the number one seed between Tampa and Green Bay. And right now, the schedule looks very winnable for Tampa. There's New Orleans on Sunday night, and then the day after Christmas against Carolina. Then they go to the New York, go to the Meadowlands in New Jersey to play the New York Jets, and then they end the year at home against Carolina. This is a winnable schedule for Tampa. Hey, the sky's the limit for them. They can't lose any more games because if they drop at least one, and if they at least drop one game, Green Bay is lurking right behind, and Aaron Rodgers is no joke. So pay attention to the Bucks, man, because definitely the odds are definitely in their favor to be the number one seed in the NFC. And my last storyline, of course, is the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay looking very impressive on Sunday Night Football this past Sunday, beating the Chicago Bears 45-30. And then the week just before the bye week, they had an impressive win at Lambeau Field over the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the last four games for the Buccaneers, it's a winnable schedule. New Orleans, Carolina twice, and then in New Jersey to take on the New York Jets. Green Bay, this is I will say the last four games, it's winnable for them. They're at Baltimore. They're at Baltimore, which could go either way depending on the status of Lamar Jackson. Even if he plays, this game could go either way. Then there's the game on Christmas Day against the Cleveland Browns. That's a winnable game. The Minnesota game is winnable. And then they end the year at Detroit. So, again, Green Bay, similar to Tampa Bay, both teams are on a collision course for that number one seed. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady is the front runner for the league MVP this year, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers, you could put him in the MVP race as well after all the foolishness that went down in the offseason and things of that nature. He said on the Pat McAfee show, courtesy of YouTube, that they asked him, does he enjoy playing for the Green Bay Packers? And he paused for a moment. He said, I enjoy playing ball. And I don't – I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you just never know. He's very intelligent but can also be very cerebral. And we don't know if, I'm going to play – I'm going to play for – I enjoy playing for Green Bay, or I'm just here to get this check, or this is the swan song, or as they had in the off season, the last dance or whatever. But I think all roads are going to lead to Green Bay. I just, for some reason, I feel like the NFC will be decided once again at Lambeau Field. And no one wants to go to Lambeau in January. Nobody wants to go there in January. I mean, we know they don't call it the frozen tundra for anything. And if this is the swan song for Aaron Rodgers, I got to tell you what, Green Bay, they're playing so well. And defensively, they're better than Tampa Bay. At this moment right now, they're much better defensively than Tampa Bay. You know, they've got the Smiths with Preston and Zadarius is on injured reserve, but Preston has played well. Rashawn Gary has stepped up his game. How about Devondre Campbell? Kenny Clark has played nicely. Also, Kingsley Keke. And how about Rasul Douglas, man? Rasul has stepped up his game within the last several weeks, man. He's been a journeyman in around the NFL, and so he's definitely stepped up his game for quite some time now. And, of course, alongside Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay can run the ball with Aaron Jones. Also, A.J. Dillon is a nice fit for that team. And on the wide receiver side, Davante Adams. I mean, what can you say about Davante? He's one of the top receivers in the league. And then, of course, a nice blend, a nice cast with Alan Lazard and Equanimeous St. Brown and MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So Tampa Bay and Green Bay, the battle for number one, man. In my opinion, again, I think all the NFC is going to go through Green Bay this year. A lot of teams do not want to do that, especially even the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, that takes care of our segment number one. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with Drew Gear. Drew is the host of the Rock Pile Report, and along with his producer, Chris Krueger, they dedicate their podcast to covering Buffalo Bills content. We discuss the Bills game against the Buccaneers, Josh Allen, and so much more. Drew is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
This is Robert Langdon.
I teach symbology.
The suspect called him.
From the author of the Da Vinci Code.
He wants me to locate an ancient portal.
We have to finish this or my dad is dead.
Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol. All episodes streaming now. Only on Peacock.
You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Tom Thumb for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Tom Thumb for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Tom Thumb Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit TomThumb.com/foryou for program details.
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Spectrum Mobile is reinventing wireless again. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month per line. No contracts, no added taxes or fees. Includes nationwide 5G. Save up to 60% with Spectrum Mobile. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month. Call 855-438-2999 or visit a store near you.
Offer valid for new customers on 2-plus unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Savings based on 2-line comparison of unlimited plans among major national carriers as of 9/2021. Prepaid excluded. Restrictions apply.
Those holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand can last all year long. When you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season, learn more at worldvision.org.
On family road trips, the one stop everyone can agree on is TA. Travel Centers of America, where we find all kinds of food and drink choices, quick refueling, a convenience store, and a clean place to refresh. Travel Centers of America is the perfect stop for everyone.
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Deloitte is the world's largest professional services network, and there's a reason for that: consistency. But how does a giant global company provide consistency? Easy. With ServiceNow, they connect all 300,000 plus of their professionals on a single platform, the Now Platform. So whether someone works in Indonesia, Mexico, or any other of the 148 countries they operate in, ServiceNow helps Deloitte perform their work from a common and connected place. they can leverage the same powerful tools they need to adapt to changing markets and get the same proactive support they need to thrive. And with ServiceNow IT solutions, Deloitte can easily consolidate and scale their technology so professionals can access it wherever they are. So, how does Deloitte keep a consistently high standard for global clients? With ServiceNow, they can keep a consistently high standard for global professional. Learn more at servicenow.com.
Allen keeps it again. There's room there. Out into the end zone. And Buffalo has his first touchdown.
Well, you see just the emotion of Allen right there. Nothing went right in the first half. He needed to get the ball a little quicker. The play calling needed to change a little bit, and Allen comes right out. Really, on the first drive, they did well. Just didn't get the first down, had the punt, and didn't get it on the punt fake. But all of a sudden here, this drive, Josh Allen makes every right decision. Got the ball out fast. Oh, this is not over. Now this drive becomes big the other way.
Something right. Look them off one side. You throw it right back to the other. Look left, fire right, look right, fire left.
Down the middle, and it's a touchdown by Dawson Knox. In Brentwood, Tennessee, is another touchdown for the Bills.
Well, and this is Brady action.
Knox at the top. Just caught a touchdown on the last series. He loves to go to him down here, but looks another way. He's got Davis, and the Bills have another touchdown.
Well, here we go again. Pressure off the edge. Got to get the ball out quick. And Davis runs a quick route inside. And the leverage, watch. He's got inside. It's just reading the field. And all of a sudden, Davis, that's that tight split. When they have a tight split, Jim, and all out pressure inside, you can't give that up.
Passer against the Bills defense all year. And here he is on third and three from the pocket. Connecting. As Perriman taking it all the way for the win. The first time he had been targeted the entire game, Rashad Perriman.
What a play design and the patience of Brady. Five-man rush and the protection up front was phenomenal, showing off the depth of this offensive unit. Tom Brady with a soft touch pass throws it, making his eyes move.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports, and that was Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call of the game that had happened in Week 14 between the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen scoring a rushing touchdown, and then he would throw two touchdown passes to Dawson Knox and Gabriel Davis. And then the last highlight that you heard, unfortunately, was Tom Brady doing what TB12 has done for so long, throwing the game-winning touchdown in overtime to wide receiver Rashad Perriman. To talk more about the Bills-Buccaneers game, also talk more about the Bills' offense and defense, Josh Allen, the Bills' next game against the Carolina Panthers, and so much more, we want to welcome to the program a person who is the host of the Rock Pile Report, which is dedicated to all things related to the Buffalo Bills. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Will Geer to the program. Will, welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, Will, give me your takeaways from the Bills game against the Bucs.
My takeaways are that we have one of the most talented quarterbacks in all of football right now, but one of the most incomplete rosters around him. That game was infuriating to watch if you're a fan who, like myself, is a season ticket holder and you go to the games and you see this team play and you see the effort that gets put in. It's incredible to think that we have one player on the entire roster who at least has the motivation to try to single-handedly will their team to victory. But he's surrounded by a lot of failure. There's just a lot of failure around him from a game planning perspective, from a coaching perspective, from an execution perspective. And you saw it just rear its ugly head multiple times throughout the course of that game. And yet to know that he's so talented that he's there taking the coin flip for overtime in a game where they trailed by 24 points. That doesn't happen very often in the NFL. So he's a special talent, and we're all just really lucky that we have him. And it's going to be on him down the stretch here to kind of cement our fate as to whether or not we're playoff contenders or playoff pretenders.
You mentioned that he's surrounded by a lot of failure, including the coaching staff. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but I want to start off with the Bills' offense in this game. Of course, we're going to get more into Josh a little bit later because, of course, he passed for over 300 yards and rushed for over 100 yards in this game. But I want to get to the running game for a moment. It's been kind of stagnant as of lately for the Bills. However, Devin Singletary had 4 carries for 52 yards in this game. Will, give me your thoughts on Devin's performance in this game and his performance so far in this 2021 season.
Here's the crazy thing. When you look at Devin Singletary, he's not your prototype running back, and he's not a guy that anyone would look at and say, I want that to be my bell cow back. But he does some nice things for you. He has some great contact balance. He can bounce off defenders when they don't get a clean shot at him. He can do a lot of nice things. He has decent hands. He can catch well out of the backfield and turn upfield quickly. But he lacks a lot of burst. He doesn't have the requisite physicality to really lay a big hit on anybody. So where you end up is this place where you've got a smaller running back that, honestly, a lot of his success has come because, especially when he's coming from around behind the line of scrimmage post-snap, a lot of the times some of these things come out of the shotgun, and I'm surprised they haven't done it more this year, but when he plays out of the shotgun, defenders lose him behind the line of scrimmage. And then he has a quick burst from a short area burst. He can get out, he can get a step on somebody, and he can break a tackle and make it, he can take what could be a 3-yard run and turn it into a 5-yard run. Occasionally. But he's not elusive, unfortunately, what the Buffalo Bills have in their entire running back stable is just this concept of, we have 3 different guys who are 3 different skill sets, but none of them are special in any one regard. And the results are pretty much what you see on paper. We have one of the worst rushing attacks in the NFL. Our quarterback you said he had 52 yards on 4 carries. Josh Allen had 100 yards, over 100 yards. I think it was 109 and a touchdown. Because he's the most dynamic rushing threat our team has. Now, some of that's a byproduct of our offensive line, and some of that's just the fact that Josh Allen is he's the most intimidating runner we have. Our running backs are almost kind of an afterthought in this offense at this point.
All right, fair enough. And I want to move along now to the receiving core. I mean, on paper, Will, I mean, this is about as talented as a receiving core, one of the best in the league. Stephon Diggs was the leading receiver in this game against Tampa with 7 catches, 74 yards. Give me your thoughts on Stephon and his performance against Tampa, and what do you think, how well do you think he's played so far in this 2021 season?
Well, he came off last year where he was the NFL's leading receiver. It was a great thing. It propelled our team to the AFC Championship game. This season, he hasn't been quite as prolific. And part of the problem is I'm seeing some lapses. Look, last year we thought Josh Allen's chemistry with Stephon Diggs was perfect. It couldn't have been better. This year, I don't know what's happened. It's almost like he and Stephon have had there's been a breakdown somewhere. No more glaring than in this Tampa Bay game. Now, all the penalties, I know everybody's crying about penalties, what was called, what wasn't called. And I look at that like Sean Connery from The Rock. Losers always whine about their best, and winners go home with the prom queen. That's why Tom Brady gets the win, and that's why we're here yelling about referees not calling for holding and things like that. So what I look at when I see this game is I watch multiple deep balls where he's one-on-one with a cornerback who doesn't have any physical contact with him, isn't holding him, isn't touching him, and he's just not on the same page as our quarterback. That's a problem. He had multiple opportunities to make big plays where last year he was making them routinely. This year he's shrunk a little bit. He's just not as dynamic of a weapon as you would expect him to be in this offense. And we're suffering for it because now we're trying to rely on, hey, okay, if he can't be the guy who takes 10 targets and gets 100 yards a game, we need to spread the ball out to other guys. Well, you're finding out those other guys aren't as effective as you thought they were. They were more effective because you had one of the scariest wide receivers in all of football last season on your team, and they had two, if not three, eyes on three sets of eyes on him all at all times. Now defenses can just sit in a too high safety shell and keep us hemmed in. Dawson Knox is no longer getting loose up the seam. Cole Beasley is not free underneath to rack up yards after the catch. We ourselves as a coaching staff have decided that we don't need Isaiah McKenzie, who scored eight touchdowns last year total. So really, we've kind of done a detriment by not changing up that group and adding a fresh element. We tried to bring in Emmanuel Sanders, and early he was effective. And then teams realized that he's old and he's not fast. He can beat a zone. He has a good feel for that, but he's not a physical threat. He's too small to be a contested catch threat, and he was very easy for teams to take away from us. And so now all of a sudden you live in a world where your offense isn't as dynamic as it used to be. And Stephon Diggs, his regression is a huge part of that.
All right, and let's move along now. I want to stay with the receiving core just for a moment. We talked about Diggs, and let's talk about Cole Beasley. In this game, he had 9 catches for 64 yards, so Cole contributed what he could in this game. Give me your thoughts, Will, on Cole's performance in this game and his 2021 season so far.
Cole Beasley is one of the most polarizing players on the Bills team because of his outspoken stance about COVID vaccination policies and all these other things. He's trying. But again, as Allen struggles and as Diggs struggles, so does he, because he thrived on the fact that teams would get frustrated and try to put pressure on our quarterback and have to send linebackers. You know, last year, they were having to send linebackers in order to get pressure on Josh Allen because he kept moving the pocket. Josh Allen just naturally, with his athleticism, would get out and move the pocket himself. And he was free to just slide into these soft zones that they would vacate, and he would rack up yards after the catch. And he was a safety valve for our quarterback. Now, teams are finding they can rush four. We saw it in the Tampa game. Just the front four in that first half manhandled our offensive line. They've regressed badly, and we're paying the price for that, but so is Cole Beasley, because Cole Beasley is a guy who he's getting targets, and he's being effective, but there aren't a whole lot of 100-yard games to go around for any of our wide receivers. There's a reason for that. Josh Allen is stuck just looking for whoever is open. Now their offensive line is kind of taking a step back. Teams don't have to send linebackers to get pressure anymore. And with that, now Cole Beasley, where he used to feast, there's guys there. And Josh Allen won't throw to him unless he's open, because he knows that the high-risk area of the field, he doesn't want to turn the ball over to linebackers and throw interceptions. So he just doesn't. And so Beasley has also taken a step back as a byproduct of some of the failures we've talked about.
All right. And speaking of, you mentioned about Cole being unable to feast. One person that's been feasting as of late, and somebody that I've paid attention to on the roster for Buffalo, that's Gabriel Davis. He had 5 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown. And Gabriel has really stepped up his game as of late. Give me your thoughts, Will, on Gabriel's play in the game against Tampa and his 2021 season so far.
I'll say this. I'm a 10-year season ticket holder. Now, I don't count last year because we couldn't go. 10 years I've been a season ticket holder. I've never made a sign. Never made a sign for a sporting event in my entire life. I considered it this week until I found out that Emmanuel Sanders has a knee injury and probably won't play. He's week to week, so he probably won't play against the Panthers. I was going to make one this week and bring it to the game. Just a big sign that in black letters said, Gabe Davis over Emmanuel Sanders or we riot. Because this is what we've seen this year. Gabe Davis, he's taken a back seat. He really has. Because our coaching staff trusted Emmanuel Sanders' veteran presence over Gabe Davis's youth. And that's a mistake. And it's proving itself out, because just as effective as Emmanuel Sanders was being at the beginning of the season, and then he faded pretty hard, Gabe Davis is coming on the more opportunities he gets. Last year, he had 7 touchdowns for us. I don't know how, as a coaching staff, you ever move away from a guy like that, because to me, that's house money. That's found gold for a guy you drafted in the 4th round of the draft. And yet you marginalized him because you signed an older guy who's been there. He's seen some things. Great. He used to be effective. He's also 34 years old playing wide receiver. Gabe Davis is finally getting more snaps. And as his snap count has gone up, so have his contributions. You watch him now being effective. Josh Allen could have had, I would say the worst throw Josh had all day was in the red zone. It could have been another touchdown to Gabe Davis on the drive when they had to kick a field goal to make the score 10-3 versus Tampa Bay. If Josh connects on that, that's another Gabe Davis touchdown. And he would have had 2 for the game. That could have been the difference in the entire game. Gabe Davis, just at 6'4", big wingspan, catches the ball, contested catches, and he's sneaky fast. He doesn't look like he's moving quickly because he's so big, and all of a sudden he's got separation. He's the only deep threat we have. He's the only guy who's routinely beating his assignment. I just feel like he's a guy who, if we can run more of the offense through him, funnel it away from Stephon Diggs. Let defenses worry about him. Gabe Davis is a guy who's not only playing some really great football right now, but he's a dynamic threat that I think we've underutilized criminally.
All right, Finn, I want to talk about a position that has definitely been utilized for much of the year on the receiving corps, and that's the tight end position. Dawson Knox, man, he has been a hidden gem and really been an X factor for this Bills offense, complementing Josh Allen very nicely in this game. 7 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Dawson's play in the game against the Bucs in his 2021 season so far.
Here's the thing about Dawson Knox. I hated him. I'm willing to say that I hated him. I hated the draft pick. I thought it was a reach. I didn't like his hair. Everything about this guy I disliked. And coming into this season, I said, I don't understand why we're not upgrading the tight end position. And the coaching staff kept saying the same thing. Just give it time. He was a project. Everybody knew he was a project. And I said, okay, well, that's fine to say, but I don't understand it. Well, here's where he's landed now. He's leading our team in touchdowns. He is our most dynamic red zone weapon. He has more touchdowns than anybody else in the roster. His yards before the catch are so small, but he's generated more than 50% of his yardage after the catch, which is near tops of the team, which is crazy to think about, that it's a tight end in an offense that doesn't utilize the tight end all that much. His average depth of target is 7 yards downfield, which means that when he catches the ball, it's usually almost a first down every time. And one of the best things about him is that his drop percentage. So as a rookie, he led the NFL in drop percentage with over 20%. Last year that came down, it kind of fell around like 14%, but his hands were still pretty suspect. I mean, I used to refer to him as a transformer, and I was like, oh, he's like a transformer, except instead of turning into a cool car or a rocket ship or a giant gun that someone could shoot, his hands just turn into frying pans, and everything is just bounces off of him. Well, his drop percentage is 7%. He's now entered that realm of touch. He's never going to be a Travis Kelce, but he's up there with some of the most effective tight ends in the NFL, especially from like 35 yards out from the end zone. That's where Josh Allen really seems to look for him specifically. Knowing like, okay, we're 35. The safeties are still back, so they're not occupying the seams because they still have to worry about us getting over the top of them. Now, when you get in the red zone, Knox seems to kind of shrink a little bit, which makes sense because the safeties can come down and get physical with him. But when you're between 40 and 30 yards out from the end zone, 35 yards out, that's when this team really looks at Dawson Knox and goes, okay, here's where you're a weapon because you're fast. And you've developed some decent hands. But you're not the biggest or the most physically imposing tight end, so you're not going to win a lot of jump balls. We need to find ways to scheme you into space, get you the ball, and let you just run it in. And at the same time, sometimes he can go up the stem, up the seam, into the end zone like he did against Tampa Bay. and catch a pass for a touchdown. He's become a weapon for this offense in a way that I never expected.
I want to stay with Dawson just for a moment, and at the tight end position, you mentioned Travis Kelce, and, you know, there's Travis Kelce, there's George Kittle, you have Darren Waller, you've got Rob Gronkowski, you know, and of course you can't forget about, you could put Hunter Henry in the mix as well, and the NFL has really prided itself on the tight end position for quite a while now. Do you think Dawson has the potential to be in that same category with those names that I mentioned?
Will be, but I don't know that he has to be. The way our team is designed, there's too many weapons for you to ever prioritize one. And I just don't think – I think he's learning. Maybe he can be, but right now I don't think he is. But, he doesn't have to be because Josh Allen has so many other quality targets that, you know, when you look at the game and you see some games Dawson Knox has no targets. That's just play design. That's just game script that's, hey – they took Knox away. It didn't matter. We can run our offense through other players. We can bring in a Gabe Davis and replace what we were getting from Dawson Knox. That's one of the benefits of the Bills offense as a whole, is that we have enough skilled players that they can fill multiple roles. And you can kind of be different from week to week, even if our coaching staff here in 2021 has really done a poor job of executing that.
Wow, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I want to move along now to the defensive side. And before I talk about the defense for a moment, man, Tom Brady picked apart the Buccaneers' defensive backs. He had their way. He had his way with them in this past Sunday's game. Of course, Tre'Davious White done for the year on IR. Big part of that Bills secondary. So I want to talk about the defense just for a moment, Drew. I apologize for that. But, Drew, you know, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Dane Jackson, all in the secondary, led the team with 7 tackles. Give me your thoughts on their play in this game against Tampa.
They did the best they could with what they were given. I mean, we didn't get any pressure. We sacked Tom Brady once, and it was almost by accident. It was just one of those things. We got pressure, but we didn't get disruptive pressure. So our defensive backs were essentially left on islands trying to just hold down arguably the best skill position group from a wide receiver perspective in the NFL. And they didn't even have Antonio Brown for this game. If they had, it would be a nightmare. We did it, and we did it because they have competitiveness. Dane Jackson... it's one of those things where you saw Dane Jackson rise to the occasion. You, in the offseason, we chose not to invest any draft capital or any significant free agent dollars in the cornerback 2 position. And when we did that, everyone goes, oh, our GM went on a podcast with Richard Sherman. And I have a lot of faith in Dane Jackson. And we all called him a lunatic. In this game, we saw what we needed to see from Dane Jackson that supported his confidence, because you watched the kid compete. He's out there competing with Chris Godwin. He's out there competing with Mike Evans, one of the biggest, most physical wide receivers in the NFL. I think it's a testament to Levi Wallace, a guy who Bills fans really get down on, is kind of like a, hey, he's soft. He's an also-ran. He's a CB2 who wouldn't be a CB4 on most teams. He showed up. This team stiffened up on defense in that second half and played the type of football that you expect them to play. And the reality is they were doing it in the first half. We just weren't getting anything done up front. Their coverage things, they started dropping their safeties a little bit lower just to take away the crossing routes and make Brady stand in the pocket a little bit longer. And that made Brady uncomfortable long enough that our cornerbacks could do the job on the outside. And it really worked. So even without Trey White, I see a unit that's still well-coached. I mean, that is our head coach's strength. He's a former safety. He's coached defensive backs his entire career. Every defensive back, I mean, Roman Harper got cut from the Saints, acquired by the Carolina Panthers, had a career year, and the Saints brought him back. They brought him back after they cut him because he did so well under Sean McDermott's tutelage. So it doesn't shock me that our defensive back group, for even just a bunch of no-names now at cornerback, they're still performing admirably in coverage. It's because of how well coached they are and just the way our defensive system is set up.
All right, and staying on the defensive side, Drew, I want to bring up a linebacker. He's been balling this year, Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine had six tackles in this game against Tampa. I think he, you know, the argument could be out. He could be a candidate for the league defensive player of the year. Drew, give me your thoughts on Tremaine's play against the Bucs and his 2021 season so far.
I don't want to discount some of the praise you're heaping on him, but here's what I'll say. Tremaine Edmonds, right now there's a real conversation going on within our fan base over who we should keep. Tremaine Edmonds or our defensive tackle Ed Oliver, because one of them is going to walk in free agency in the near future. The reality is that Tremaine Edmonds, for his big and physical and having all the intangibles, he's one of the reasons we lost his football game this week. And that's not lost on me, because when you look at his draft profile, everybody who scouted him said he'd probably fit best as a 3-4 outside linebacker, where his size, his speed, his ability to cover, he'd be a freak athlete. He'd be one of the best outside linebackers to ever play in a 3-4 defense. We drafted him, made him an inside linebacker, a middle linebacker, who has to be the captain of the defense, communicate. There's a reason that he didn't get drafted. Now, I'm an Alabama fan. He didn't get drafted above Roquan Smith that year. Why? Because Roquan Smith was a more complete player. Tremaine Edmonds needed to get it right above. He had all the physical things nailed down to a science. It's between the ears. And it's the small nuances in the game where you see his failures manifest themselves. There's a third and one play against Tampa Bay where all he has to do is take the correct tackling form to the running back, and he stops him for a loss. They don't convert. The Bills get the ball back late in the game when they're driving down to score. Well, Tremaine Edmonds screws that up. He takes the wrong angle. He gets turned inside, and they get the first down. They go on to score a field goal that forces us to force overtime. You watch him late in that game, and he doesn't recognize what's happening in front of him. Breshad Perriman runs right past him, catches the pass, and he's gone. And it ends the football game. And you say to yourself, okay, well, if he's actually if he's the star middle linebacker that we're going to – when you see what middle linebackers cost now, and you look at him and you go, is that the guy that I want to hitch my wagon to for 6 years at $100 million a clip? I don't know. I don't know if he's in that conversation yet. And so I know he's young. He's incredibly young. He's one of the youngest players in the NFL. And the fact that he almost has 5 years of experience is crazy, because I don't think he's even 25 years old. He started at like 19 and change. But he's underwhelmed this year, and it's been a real problem, and it's actually one of the – it's cost us football games, as you saw on Sunday.
You mentioned one of the gentlemen that represents the future of the Bills organization, Ed Oliver, but somebody that's also really been a stalwart in this organization, Drew, is Jerry Hughes. What do you think the future is like for Ed and Jerry to play together a little bit longer in Buffalo?
I don't know. I think Jerry Hughes is very rapidly approaching his exit from this organization. He's just not effective anymore. He is. He's still leading. It depends on what stats you like. If you like pressures and you think that's important, then you look at the statutes and you go, well, look, at Jerry Hughes is still a fine defensive end. What I see, though, is when I'm at the stadium and I'm watching the game, or when I'm at home and I'm watching the game and I see Jerry Hughes get a quote-unquote pressure on Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady runs for 12, but he doesn't get home. He never gets a sack. And then Tom Brady runs for 12 yards for a first down. Or when I'm at the stadium and I watch Jerry Hughes come around the corner and he almost sacks the quarterback, and then the quarterback doesn't go down, and instead he just steps away from him harmlessly and then delivers a dump off for 6 yards. It's like, well, those almost don't actually change the course of the game. We need a real impact player at that position. And for the amount of money he's getting paid, which is over $8 million a year, I unless he's willing to take a ridiculous haircut to stay with this team, I think his days here are coming to an end as fast as the season's end is approaching.
All right, and then I want to talk now. I want to just kind of you mentioned earlier about Ed Oliver. Ed and Tremaine, you were saying that the Bills were going to have to make a decision in the offseason about which one they were going to keep. Just give me your thoughts on Ed and his performance in this 2021 season so far.
He's been playing like a guy who finally understands the nuances and the responsibilities of being a three-technique defensive tackle. It's really impressive to watch the way he's improved. He took a lot of crap his first year, and he took a lot his second year, because fans thought that because we drafted him in the top 10, he has to be an impact player right out of the gate. I really believe that at the end of the day, he's going to be a very solid football player. And I think that with lacking statistics and lacking a lot of things to back it up, he's not going to command top dollar on the market as a free agent. But what I think is that he's a guy that the Bills should prioritize, because you need something on this defensive line that's about to go a major facelift. You just drafted a first-round defensive end who's disappeared. You drafted Greg Rousseau is no longer making impact plays for your team. A.J. Epinesa was a second-round pick for you last year. He's nowhere to be found. Boogie Basham, who you drafted in the second round this year, he's not even on the field most of the time. You've invested a lot of draft picks in young defensive linemen hoping that they would grow. You have one who's actually doing the job. In that way, I feel like you have to take a hard look at extending that guy, simply because he fits a role and a need, and also he might be the only proven commodity you have on hand.
All right, and I want to move along now to, you know, the future. I mentioned Ed Oliver being the future on the defensive side, but, man, Josh Allen, I mean, Buffalo, wow, they so far so good. They've struck gold with Josh Allen. And in this game, Drew, Josh completed 36 out of 54 passes for 308 yards and 2 touchdowns. And as we mentioned earlier, 109 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown. That is insane. Give me your thoughts on Josh's performance in this game against Tampa Bay.
I almost teared up a little bit on our podcast over at the Rock Pile Report when we were talking about Josh in this game and just what his play means. Here's one of the things that I'll say to anybody who listens. Josh Allen, a lot of players get paid and then they stop. They just say, okay, I met my obligation. Now I'm just going to maintain the status quo because that's the job. Josh Allen wants to be a winner, and he wants to do it so badly that he's willing to sacrifice himself. He's willing to sacrifice himself on the altar of that. And you saw it in this game where he's very obviously laboring under a foot injury, and yet he's still taking off and running. He's still planting his foot and throwing. Why? Because to him, losing, it's worse than death. And I love that about him. Now, your listeners will maybe get a laugh out of this. When we drafted him, I hated Josh Allen. I hated Josh Allen as a prospect. I hated everything about him. I wanted Josh Rosen. So we were at a Jamaican resort with my wife, and I'm watching the draft at the bar, and I see Josh come across the TV, and I think it's Josh Rosen, and I start celebrating, and I see it's Josh Allen, and I drank an entire bottle of rum that night and ended up naked on our balcony and my wife with a beer in each hand. And my wife goes, honey, you got to get in here. You can't be naked on the balcony. I go, honey, I don't think you understand. Pants are irrelevant because Josh Allen is my quarterback. Nothing matters. Nothing matters anymore. We have the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's now one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and this game proved it. He fought through all of the adversity, all of his teammates' incompetence, just willed us into overtime, and then we came up short. And yet, he didn't throw anyone under the bus. He didn't pout. He just said, listen, I'm going to keep doing this until we win. That's a guy that you can't help, but I want to go suit up and play for him. Up and try to block for him. That's how impressive Josh Allen is.
Awesome, awesome. And again, his name is Drew Geer. He is the host of the Buffalo Bills podcast titled Rock Pile Report. Thank you again, Drew, and thank you also to your producer, Chris, for making this happen as well. Before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, the Rock Power Report podcast, and any other websites you have. Let them know that as well.
Sure. You can find us on Twitter at Rock Power Report. We're actually doing a Festivus celebration where we're getting fans together to air their grievances about the 2021 season. I'm sure your fan base can... Sure, you guys have some too. If you have any, at Rock Pile Report on Twitter. We're giving away free barbecue rubs, sauces, some free pizza here in the Buffalo area. We at Rock Pile Report on Twitter, rockpilereport716@gmail.com. Guys, you can find us on all your major podcast apps. We have a lot of fun over here. We're the pettiest, hardest drinking Bills podcast. I have a beer in my hand right now as we've been doing this, and I don't know if my stories tell it all. But we were a lot of fun.
Indeed, you were a lot of fun. And again, you heard it from him. He's Drew Geer, host of the Rock Power Report, all things dedicated to the Buffalo Bills. Drew, thank you so much. And again, thank you to your producer, Chris. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Of course, sir. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Allen keeps it again. There's room there. Allen to the end zone. Hey, Buffalo has his first touchdown.
Well, you see just the emotion of Allen right there. Nothing went right in the first half. He needed to get the ball a little quicker. The play calling needed to change a little bit, and Allen comes right out. Really, on the first drive, they did well. Just didn't get the first down. Had to punt and didn't get it on the punt fake. But all of a sudden here, this drive, Josh Allen makes every right decision.
Something right, look them off one side, and throw it right back to the other. Look left, fire right, look right, throw left.
Down the middle, and it's a touchdown by Dawson Knox. In Brentwood, Tennessee, is another touchdown for the Bills. Knox at the top. Just caught a touchdown on the last series. He loves to go to him down here, but looks another way. He's got Davis, and the Bills have another touchdown.
Well, here we go again. Pressure off the edge. Got to get the ball out quick. And Davis runs a quick route inside.
Passer against the Bills defense all year. And here he is on third and three from the pocket. Connecting. As Perriman taking it all the way for the win. The first time he had been targeted the entire game. Rashad Perriman.
What a play design and the patience of Brady. Five-man rush and the...
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Streaming only on Peacock.
John Wayne Gacy is suspected of having killed as many as 32.
Straight from the killer's mouth.
They want you to believe that I alone committed these murders.
The new gripping six-part documentary series that investigates the crime that shocked the nation.
The thing everybody thought they knew wasn't the whole story.
John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. All episodes streaming now.
Devil in Disguise.
Only on Peacock.
Bundling home and car insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? They may drop little hints like,
beautiful day out. Even more beautiful since we saved by bundling our home and car insurance with GEICO.
Or,
yard work is hard. Much harder than bundling with GEICO, which was easy.
Or it may be even subtler, like,
Speaking of burgers, we bundled our home and car insurance with GEICO and saved a bunch of money.
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
And now it's GEICO's Motorcycle Rules of the Road. Before you ride, make sure your mirrors are clean and adjusted properly. And if you're going on a group ride, make sure the lead biker knows where they're going.
Ed, quick question. Where are you taking us?
Oh, I have no idea. What, am I the leader? Because I was following that dude with the red helmet. Where is he?
And the rule to saving on motorcycle insurance is, in 15 minutes, GEICO could save you 15% or more.
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Because nothing's better than our wings in 11 mouth-watering, soul-satisfying flavors. Go boneless, go classic, go lemon pepper or spicy Korean Q. Whatever you choose, you'll be satisfied. Go to Wingstop.com now and get it delivered right to your door. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
Get 30% shorter average wait time. When you buy and book your appointment at DiscountTire.com, you can get 30% shorter average wait time in the store. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
When two are pros, reach for an iron. More of them reach for a Titleist than any other. When every shot counts, the best choose Titleist.
Those holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand can last all year long. When you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season. Learn more at worldvision.org.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Acme for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Acme for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Acme Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit acmemarkets.com/foryou for program details.
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Mix things up with our boneless wings in any of our 11 mouth-watering flavors, like zesty lemon pepper or sweet and spicy Korean Q. Get it delivered at Wingstop.com. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
At last, the holidays are here, and so is Ridgeland. Shop, dine, celebrate, and immerse yourself in the spirit of the season. The Ridgeland Retail Trail has a gift for everyone on your list. So wrap it in Ridgeland and book one of our special Slay and Stay hotel packages. Learn more at visitridgeland.com. Hashtag VisitMS responsibly.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Mix things up with our boneless wings in any of our 11 mouth-watering flavors, like zesty lemon pepper or sweet and spicy Korean Q. Get it delivered at Wingstop.com. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. When the craving hits, Wingstop delivers. Mix things up with our boneless wings in any of our 11 mouth-watering flavors, like zesty lemon pepper or sweet and spicy Korean Q. Get it delivered at Wingstop.com. Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings.
When you love your team, you spend every moment wondering what they're doing. Well, stop wondering. Get Contour TV from Cox and follow them anywhere, anytime with the Contour app. Plus, use your voice remote to search and filter games or record one that starts past bedtime. Because even a 24/7 fan has to sleep, occasionally. Learn more at cox.com/sports.
Those holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand and lasts all year long. When you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season. Learn more at worldvision.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Drew Geer, the host of the Rock Power Report, and along with his producer, Chris Krueger. They dedicate their podcast to covering Buffalo Bills content. Of course, Drew with a very true and a very humorous look at what's currently going on with the Buffalo Bills, and hopefully they can turn their season around. All right, let's get right to Week 15's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. The future is now. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. I mean, this is a matchup for the matchups. Again, these are two young talents in the National Football League. Again, the NFL is built on quarterback play. And if you're a fan of offenses and high-powered offenses, you're going to love this game between the two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes going up against Justin Herbert. But it's not just about Mahomes and Herbert. We also have for Kansas City, there's Tyreek Hill, there's Travis Kelce. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the mix. Again, Chris Jones may not be playing for this game for the Thursday night. He's currently on the COVID-19 list. But again, Kansas City defensively, they've been strong the last several weeks, but we know Kansas City's MO has always been offense. And again, as I mentioned those names earlier with Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, Edwards-Helaire. Also, you could add Mecole Hardman and Byron Pringle to the mix as well. Meanwhile, for the Chargers, it's not just about Justin Herbert. There's Keenan Allen, who is expected to play in this game. He's off the COVID-19 list as well. Also, you have Mike Williams at the helm with the Chargers, Austin Eckler, who's been a really hidden gem for the Chargers this year. So, and then you've got Joey Bosa for the Chargers as well. So, again, the Chiefs and Chargers, this is going to be a great game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, which is going to be the home of this year's Super Bowl, which is expected to be a lot of fun. Chiefs, Chargers, indeed, I expect it to be a shootout in the AFC, in this AFC West rivalry game. For those of you like myself that remember those great Chiefs-Chargers games going as far back as the 80s and the 90s, and definitely this is going to be a continuation of that rivalry, even going back to their days of playing in the AFL. Let's move along now to the Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Cleveland Browns. And again, the Raiders embarrassed by the Chiefs last week. The Browns had a close win over the AFC North rival Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland, what a turn of events that it's been this week for Cleveland. Think about this. All of the players that are on the COVID-19 list, Baker Mayfield, head coach Kevin Stefanski, also you have tight end Austin Hooper, wide receiver Jarvis Landry, defensive end Tack McKinley, offensive line with Jedrick Wills, just to name a few. So Cleveland is decimated, and Case Keenum will be the starting quarterback for the Browns going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. So, again, this is a must-win game for both teams. Cleveland still in the thick of things where they could possibly win the AFC North for the Raiders. They're still in the mix as well. They could possibly either win the AFC West or take a wild card spot. So Cleveland decimated by the recent COVID outbreak in the National Football League. As for the Raiders, again, Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, we don't know if Darren Waller, we don't know if he's going to be available for this game or not, but Raiders and Browns, man, this is coming down to the crunch. This is crunch time. When we hit late November around Thanksgiving in the National Football League, it's put up or shut up, and the Raiders have got to put up because they have been getting shut up as of late, and they were embarrassed at Arrowhead by the Chiefs last week. So Browns having their issues, the Raiders, they've had their issues as of late, but this should be a good game by Lake Erie between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Cleveland Browns. The next game that we have is the New England Patriots going up against the Indianapolis Colts. This continues the long rivalry between the Patriots and the Colts. When you think Patriots and Colts, for so many years it was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Brady playing for Tampa Bay now. Peyton Manning rode off to the sunset in the retirement, winning the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. And this is a new era for Patriots Colts. Carson Wentz, Mac Jones. The Colts, shaky at the beginning of the year, but lately they seem to have found their way with getting some important wins in this season. It was much needed. Carson Wentz starting to play a little bit better, not looking I don't know if it's old Carson or new Carson, but again, they've won their last four out of five games, beating the Jets on November the 4th, beating Jacksonville on November the 14th, beating Buffalo on November the 21st, and then after that they would lose a tough one to Tampa Bay on November the 28th, but then they would beat the Houston Texans December the 5th, and they had their bye week. As for New England, man, New England has really been clicking on all cylinders. New England is a team where you have Mac Jones, who is definitely going to be a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Bill Belichick, candidate for Head Coach of the Year. New England is clicking on all cylinders right now. They are hot at the right time. They haven't lost a game since October the 17th, and that was at Gillette Stadium in overtime to the Dallas Cowboys. Since then, they beat the Jets on October the 24th. They beat the Chargers on Halloween night. They went undefeated the whole month of November, beating Carolina, Cleveland, Atlanta, and Tennessee. And then just before their bye week, they beat Buffalo on Monday night, 14-10. So, man, New England's red hot right now. New England is the team where they turn heads, but they don't turn heads. They don't turn heads because they don't play the most exciting ball, but they turn heads just because of the mystique of the Patriots and with head coach Bill Belichick. So New England and Indianapolis, it's going to be an interesting game. The Colts with that defense with Darius Leonard and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a really good game. The Colts have a running back, of course, Jonathan Taylor. You could put him in the mix as a candidate for the league offensive player of the year. He's definitely holding his own as well. And, of course, again, Colts on the defensive side, Darius Leonard. There's Xavier Rhodes. You got Andrew Sendejo. And there's DeForest Buckner. And it's going to be a good game in Indy with New England and Indianapolis. Next game is going to be the Tennessee Titans going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So much trouble in the Steel City last Thursday night, losing a tough one to the Minnesota Vikings. Chase Claypool wants to get up and showboat and do a first down dance, and his offensive lineman, Trey Turner, is telling him to get up and stop with the foolishness and let's go, let's do this. And then Ben Roethlisberger, you know, not really showing the true leadership skills, handling that situation. It's just been a shaky season for Pittsburgh. The Steelers get the home game at Heinz Field. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans are coming in. The Titans are looking to try to make something happen. Again, no Derrick Henry as of yet. You know, he's expected to return maybe at the end of the regular season or at the beginning of the Titans' playoff run. So Tennessee, again, they beat Jacksonville. Who hasn't beat Jacksonville, right? But nevertheless, they shut out the Jacksonville Jaguars. They currently sit at 9-4. Tough schedule for Tennessee. At Pittsburgh, then there's San Francisco, and then there's Miami, then there's Houston, Pittsburgh. The game could go either way. San Francisco, going to be a tough one. Miami, it could go either way. Houston's going to be an easy one. So Houston and Pittsburgh, meanwhile, the Steelers, you know, Big Ben, he says this is going to be his last season with the team. That's what's being reported. And, you know, we're looking at this. This schedule is tough for the Steelers. There's Tennessee at Kansas City, then there's a Monday night at home in Cleveland, and then they end the year at Baltimore. So, again, this could go either way for Tennessee, but the Titans and Steelers, you know, these two teams, they play hard, they hit hard. It's going to be a good game, a really good game, a real strong game. So Tennessee-Pittsburgh, check it out. Next game that we have is the Washington football team going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, what a week it's been for the Washington football team. Similar to Cleveland, they were hit with a lot of COVID-19 cases. For WFT, Jonathan Allen, Kyle Allen, Matt Ioannidis, also Cam Sims. You had Kendall Fuller, also James Smith-Williams, and Montez Sweat are just some of the players that were in, that were put in the COVID protocol as a result of this continuing pandemic with COVID-19. Now, quarterback Taylor Heinicke, he was hurt late in the third, I want to say late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter in the game against Dallas last week. They're saying that Taylor's going to be good to go for this game against Philadelphia. They're going to need him because Taylor, you know, it's coming down to the wire. For the moment, Washington remains a wild card team. They still have a chance to win the NFC East. That depends on their rival, the Dallas Cowboys, but the Philadelphia Eagles are not too far behind. Jalen Hurts is expected to return for this game. This is going to be interesting. How effective he's going to be because he just returned from injury. Mobility, will he be limited? Will he be back to old Jalen? We don't know what's going to happen, but this is going to be an interesting game between Washington and the Eagles. Again, Washington's been a tough week for them with the with a lot of players entering the COVID protocol and things of that nature. And in Philly, they're trying to get ready for a possible playoff run. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a dogfight in the NFC East as a rival game with Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles. Next game, the Green Bay Packers versus the Baltimore Ravens. This is a statement game for the Packers. The Packers have to win out if they want the road to the NFC to come through Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers, MVP candidate. Say no more about him. Handled his business Sunday night against the Chicago Bears. Great supporting cast from Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, also Marquez Valdez-Scantling, also Davante Adams, one of the top receivers in the league. Also, you could put Alan Lazard in the mix as well. So while Green Bay, I mean, they're riding a high right now. Defensively, they're playing great at the right time. Now, they're going up against a Baltimore Ravens team. Lamar Jackson sprained his ankle against the Cleveland Browns this past Sunday. They're saying that he's going to play. They're saying the verdict right now is that he will play on Sunday, or will play this Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, and they're going to need him. But most importantly, what they're not going to need him to do is make stupid plays. I mean, lately Lamar, I mean, you know his play, the schoolyard football, you know, schoolyard type of quarterback play. Okay, I'll throw it with my left hand, or I'm being chased, I'll windmill it and throw it with my right hand. You know, it's never a dull moment with Lamar, but they need smart moments from him in this game. Because Green Bay is no joke. They're coming in, and they're riding a high right now. Green Bay, they've won. They're on a winning streak right now. Aaron Rodgers is at the peak of his powers right now. And Lamar is going to have to play smart. He's going to have to play smart. He's going to have to play tough. And, again, we don't know how the ankle is going to respond, if the Packers' defense are going to keep him in the pocket and limit his athletic ability. We don't know what's going to happen, but I know this is going to be a great game between the Packers and the Ravens. Sunday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints, again, in the hunt in the NFC playoff picture right now, for the Saints, they have to win out. It's just that simple. The Saints cannot lose any more games. The jury is still out at the quarterback position with Taysom Hill. Will he be, I mean, they gave him this big contract extension just over a month ago, so it looks like he's going to be the one for the Saints. But will he be the one that can get them to a win against a NFC South division rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Think about this. Tampa and New Orleans played each other in Week 6. What a thrilling game that was. The Saints won that game. But also in that game, Jameis Winston was out for the year with tearing his ACL. So what that means is this. This is now week 15. A lot has happened since that period of time. We're past Thanksgiving, and teams are gelling. Teams are figuring each other out now. Chemistries have been built since that week 6 game. Tampa's a much better team now than they were in week 6. New Orleans has regressed since the Jameis Winston injury. The Trevor Siemian situation, God bless his heart, they really didn't get a lot out of him, so now they're hoping to try to get something out of Taysom Hill. Alvin Kamara is back, so we're going to see a lot of Alvin Kamara in this game. We saw a lot of him in the win against the Jets. Also, again defensively, The Saints are going to be on their heels defensively. Brady and the pass offense, Tom Brady, they've been cooking on offense right now, those physical receivers with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, tight end Rob Gronkowski. It's going to be I won't say a shootout, but I expect this to be somewhat of a close game on Sunday night with the Saints and the Buccaneers. Monday night's going to be a good one. There's an NFC North rival game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. First for Minnesota, big win, an important win last Thursday night, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. They needed that victory because, similar to the Saints, they are in the hunt in the NFC playoff picture. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook, they're going to need a lot of him in this game when they go to Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, man, Justin Jefferson, one of the top receivers in the league right now. And, boy, Justin Jefferson, he has been doing his part. And then some Adam Thielen. We don't know if Adam is going to be playing in this game on Monday night, but Adam. Just remember one thing. Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's in a class by himself already in just his second year in the league. As for the Chicago Bears, going through growing pains at the quarterback position, Justin Fields, he seems to be the one, but he may not be the one this year because Chicago is in the hunt in the NFC playoff picture, but time is running out for them to try to get that playoff spot. You know the history of this rivalry, Vikings-Bears, NFC, outdoors, Soldier Field, the Windy City, Chicago, going to be a great game on Monday night between the Vikings and the Bears. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the Baltimore Ravens. Aaron Rodgers, man, will this be his last year in Green Bay? We don't know, but let's enjoy watching him in a Packer uniform. And the chemistry he has with Devontae Adams is just second to none. And how about the running game with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? Defensively, Green Bay has really stepped up their game for the last several weeks. They've come out there, they've been handling their business, doing their part with the likes, especially Rasul Douglas. His play has been outstanding the last several weeks for Green Bay. Really, this much since the middle of the year, especially he really came into his own in the Thursday night game when Green Bay beat the Arizona Cardinals. You've got Green Bay going to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, and that's M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. Lamar Jackson, he's expected to play in this game, and Lamar, we know Lamar's going to be dynamic, but he can't be too dynamic in this game. Consider him playing on a bad ankle, a Green Bay defense that has been great as of late, and you can't make too many mistakes going up against Aaron Rodgers and that Packer offense. You know what? I don't know what the temperature is going to be for this game between Green Bay and Baltimore, but, man, I know it's going to be physical play. I expect a lot of offense in this game. Baltimore's defense has been good this year, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to crack the code and make something happen, make a lot of things happen in this game, especially late in this game against Baltimore. This is going to be a festive game in Baltimore. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. And I can't wait. Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, it's going to be good. Green Bay and Baltimore, Packers-Ravens, my game of the week. All right, now it's time for my picks on who I think will win Week 15's most important games. I'm going to start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. I like Kansas City to win that game. The Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Cleveland Browns. I like Cleveland to win this game. They've been through a lot this week, but I think Case Keenum will hold his own, and I like Cleveland to win that game. The New England Patriots going up against the Indianapolis Colts. Mac Jones, they ride high in Indy. I like the Pats to win that game. The Tennessee Titans versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh, they've been a wounded dog for much of the year, but I think they'll stand tall in this one. I like the Steelers to beat the Titans. NFC East matchup between the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington's been through a whole lot this week. I like the Washington football team to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. My game of the week, the Green Bay Packers going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Aaron Rodgers and the Pack, they continue their hot streak. I like the Packers to beat the Ravens. Sunday night football, the New Orleans Saints going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's going to be a good game, but in the end, Tom Brady and the crew, they're going to handle their business on Sunday night. I like the Buccaneers to beat the Saints. And on Monday night, the Minnesota Vikings going up against the Chicago Bears. I like the Vikings to win that game. So my picks for Week 15's most important games are Kansas City, Cleveland, New England, Pittsburgh, Washington, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Minnesota. So there you have it. And once again, thank you so much again for joining me for this week's edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to, once again, to Drew Gear. Drew is the host of the Rock Pile Report, and along with his producer, Chris Krueger, they dedicate their podcast to covering all things related to the Buffalo Bills, giving us a very humorous but an honest look at what's currently going on with the team up in Western New York and the Buffalo Bills. Until next week, I'm Ed Robinson, and you've listened to the League Wraparound. So long, everyone.